I want to talk to you about building a prayer memorial. The Word of God says that faith without works is dead. A prayer memorial is one of the ways our faith becomes alive, by putting action to what you are praying. If you're praying for the salvation of others, then you need to make yourself available to talk to them. If you're praying for certain things, you need to make yourself available to the outcome. If we want a job, you need to, look for a job. If you want to be a blessing, you have to save up your money to be able to give it away. Not everything is a miracle. You have to work towards certain things. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army, and he said, faith and works should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the leg of people walking, first faith and then works, then faith again and then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which is the one and which is the other. He wrote that 100 years ago, and it is still accurate today because it is a principle from the Word of God. We can't be afraid to do something about what our heart is burdened toward. You have a burden for something, you have to press in and make it happen. If you don't have a burden for anything, you should be concerned about yourself. The Bible says this is our reasonable duty. So whatever you're going to do that you don't want to do is okay, because it's considered your reasonable duty, and it will generally bless somebody else and not you. So what is a memorial? According to Revel's Bible Dictionary, it is a way of observing the memory of a person, a thing, or an event. It is it's a reminder, really, of something. We can do a memorial when someone is alive. We can do a memorial when someone has passed away. I mean, we can do memorials, birthdays, events. They're all memorials. I bring this to your attention because every time we pray, every time we live our lives like we believe what God is doing, every time we live our life like we believe he heard our prayer, it's a memorial. And I'm not telling you to name it and claim it and walk on some freak show. I'm telling you, you've prayed it all the way through and you're done with it. Like when you get married, how many times do you have to have a ceremony? Like we went to, when our kids got married, Martin and I went to this weekend, one of those marriage encounter deals, those love boat things. We went on that. We did that. And they build everything up to this one night, everybody's going to renew their vows. And you should have seen it. What a mess. These people are sitting down, sharing their feelings and writing everything out. And then they're going to get remarried. And everybody is like, oh, we're going to write our vows together. I go, why would I do that? I already did that. I did it once and I meant it. And I look at him, I go, didn't you mean it? We did not participate in that activity. You got married. I don't understand why you have to renew your vows. You got saved. Hang in there. Don't live your life so you have to renew everything all the time. Okay? It's one thing, you might have to buy bigger clothes from when you were 12 years old to when you're 50, but this isn't like that. This is not a progression of your being. You've got to be solid in something. A prayer memorial makes you solid in these things. You believe it. You walk it out, you pray it through, you worship for the unseen thing, the unknown thing. Memorials are the act of purposely remembering something, and they serve as a great purpose. When we can remember what the Lord has done, it is easier to believe what he will do. When we remember what the Lord has done, it is easier to believe what he will do. That's why the Bible says, these things are written for examples, for your growing, for your learning. Our prayers ascend up to the Lord, the Bible says. He takes note of each appeal. But when we are yielded to him and seeking his desire first, above anything else, something happens. We begin to see Jesus above ourselves. That prayer becomes a memorial. No other prayer will do that. But the prayer that seeks Jesus first, that's the prayer that becomes a memorial. There are two things that can stop our prayers from being memorials. I want you to write these down. I want you to remember these. As you're living your life, as you're praying your prayers, if these are in the way, don't do it. Number one, when you fail to see Jesus in your prayers, that has to do with seeking your will, not his. When you're desperate for a thing, you're not going to get it. You've got to be desperate for him. Secondly, when we do not put works to our faith, that prayer will not become a memorial. In other words, when you do not become physically available to those prayers, something happens. Now, I'd like you to turn to Matthew 17, would you? Matthew 17, 5 through 8. I'm going to read out of the Lexham English Bible today to throw you off. Now, this takes place after the Transfiguration. Peter is asking if he should build memorials. Elisha, Moses came. It's a dramatic event. There's reasons for it. We're not getting into that. Jesus is there. He had become enlightened. And Peter says, should we build a memorial to commemorate this occasion? Now, I've established there's nothing wrong with that. People die, we get them a grave marker, we buy them a flower, we remember them. It's a good thing. But that's a physical situation. Look what Jesus says in verse 5 of chapter 17. While Peter is going down the wrong road, right when he's going down the wrong road, thinking in the flesh, I'm going to build a memorial. I'm going to scrounge around some rocks. I'm going to invent bricks. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. He's beginning to think what it would look like and how would he do it, perhaps. Right when he's going down the wrong road, something happens. That's why you have to be prepared, and I have to be prepared when we're making a move to be available to understand, hey, is this the wrong road? We move too quick sometimes because we just are so lovely and we want to obey so nicely, but sometimes we've got to stop and wait and see, is there a bright cloud overshadowing me that I put my sunglasses on so it doesn't bother me and I can do what I want anyway? Because what this guy was trying to do sounded pretty good, sounded normal. We'll build a memorial. We can always remember that this happened. Look at, you should remember it anyway. Wow. He was speaking. A bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell down on their faces and were extremely frightened. And Jesus came and touched them and said, get up don't be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus. Jesus alone. Amen? Seeing Jesus, Jesus alone, shifts things. It shifts everything. From wanting to build something out of dirt and mortar and rock, you shift from wanting to build something out of your soul and your heart and your spirit. When you hear the voice of the Lord, everything changes. When you're on your road to do something, make sure and investigate if there is a bright cloud overshadowing you, trying desperately to speak to you. So we learn four powerful things from this. One, get up. Two, don't be afraid. Three, lift up your eyes. Quit looking at your situation. In other words, quit watching the news. Get off of that stuff. You could have a happy little life. Don't you think? You could have a happy little life. People send me stuff. You wouldn't believe this stuff people send me. And if it's a video, I just say, I don't watch those. And I can't even. What's true today is not true tomorrow, evidently. So we'll wait. There's an opera singer in the distance warming up. You know what that means. It's coming. It's coming. We're gonna get there. I could hear it. I hear a tune. Don't you hear a tune? Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Not here yet. It's getting here. And number four, after you lift up your eyes, the Bible says you will see Jesus. Jesus alone. You have to get up. You can't be afraid. Lift up your eyes, and then you'll see Jesus. And at that point, and pretty much not before, at that point, you will be building a memorial to God of your life. Every time you pray, it rises up as a memorial, as a sweet savor to God. But when your prayers are consumed with your doubt, with your fear, with your worry, you're spinning around addressing worry and concern to a God who cannot relate to worry and concern. He relates to what he's doing, and he's magnificent. When we fail to see Jesus, as they said here, Jesus alone, you cannot build a memorial to God. When we allow ourselves to be distracted by religion, by culture, by society, by fear, by wants, by needs, when we allow ourselves to be distracted by those things, we cannot build a memorial to God with our life or in our prayers. When we pray, but we refuse to engage in the answer and be available as a privilege to what somebody might need, then our prayers will not be memorials to God. As you live your life seeking the Lord for his heart and his desire, the cares of this world don't really matter. There was a young boy coming out of a store. He was running an errand for his mother. He had a carton of eggs. He dropped them, and he started to cry. And people were gathered around wondering what had happened. And they were saying, oh, you know, it'll be okay. And an old man came with a quarter, flipped a quarter, gave the child a quarter. And he looked at everybody that was standing around, and he said, I care 25 cents worth. How much do you care? You have to be part of the answer, not part of the problem. The people around you, a lot of them aren't, you know, they're messed up, man. They're not worthy of your company. I'm not telling you to be hateful. I'm telling you to be smart. It'll, these people wind you up so tight that you can't even praise God. You're in a war. I remember when the Twin Towers fell. I was over actually down south preaching, and the pastor came, and he was crying. He came on the phone and shouting, and we're having a prayer meeting. Turn on the news. I said, I don't watch the news. He says, no, turn it on. I said, quit telling me what to do. I'll see you tonight for church. No, you got to do it. You got to do it. So I turned it on, and Twin Towers, you know, they were down. So he says, come on, we're going to pray for mercy. And he was crying. Pray for mercy? This is a time of war. What are you talking about? I'm not coming down there. This is a time of war. We've waged the war. You are a bloody mess, and it looks good on you. And now worship your God and watch and see the redemption of the Lord. Amen? Turn to James. I'll cut you loose. James 2. Your life should be a memorial to God. Your prayers should be a memorial to God. They cannot be that if you're more concerned about yourself than what Jesus wants. I'm not telling you to don't bring your concerns to God. He loves you, of course. But what are you trying to convince him of? He already knows. You can mention it as a kind reminder, more for yourself than him. He knows what he's doing. He actually knows what he's doing. People in this country gave their lives, gave their homes, gave their futures, gave their prosperity. They gave it all so we could stand here in the house of God, which stands upon the Constitution of the United States, barring any idiot telling us otherwise. People gave their lives for this privilege. And just because a couple folks don't like it doesn't change the depth of their blood. And it doesn't change the color of the blood of Christ, who said, I will go with you as you go. This country was founded on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's alive, and we will worship him freely. And those statements rise up from the dirt. Don't get yourself shook up. James 2:14-26, hang in there. What is the benefit, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? That faith is not able to save him, is it? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking food for the day, and one of you should say to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat well, but not give them what is necessary for the body, what is the benefit? Thus also faith, if it does not have works, it's dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You will believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe that and shudder. But do you want to know, O foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was working together with his works, and by the works the faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. My grandma had a burden for the lost. Really, like, I've never known anybody to have a burden like that. I wish I had that burden, you know, for the lost that she had. I have a burden for Jesus. I have a burden for Jesus to be happy. And souls makes him happy. So I come that way. But she had a separate organic burden for the lost. So she particularly had a burden for the lost who were going into the war. Back in the day. When was it? The 40s. So they lived in San Francisco, and so she prayed for them and hard, and she trusted the Holy Spirit to protect all the boys that would go, but it wasn't enough. There was a provoke in her soul. She had to do something. Some of her own boys would end up going to battle, come of age, in later wars. But the burden would not leave my grandma, and So she had an idea. Sometimes an idea is that bright cloud shining above you. When you're going down a road and you're about to do something, you're about to build a memorial and you get that bright light that says, wait a minute, do it this way, right? So she had an idea. I need to rescue these guys. I got to give them, you know, opportunity. So what she did is my grandfather and my uncles and my dad, they built a little building next to the bus stop out by the Cow Palace in San Francisco. So anybody, and my brother, my uncles and my dad were all very big men. They were Golden Gloves champions. Nobody messed with them. My grandpa was huge. They formed a line. You couldn't get on the bus. They built a wall. You couldn't get on the bus unless you went through Grandma's chapel. So they built that wall. See, walls are good. Evidently, they are useful. Walls. So you'd have to go through the chapel. They'd preach to you. My grandma would preach to them before they went to boot camp because she figured most of those boys were going to get killed, and I think most of them did. But they got Jesus. They got Jesus, and they got a box lunch to take on the bus. My grandma was the one that got hit by a bus, and she was in the hospital a year. This is that one that they said she'd never walk again. And every day she threw herself out of her wheelchair and drug her body across the floor to do the laundry by hand or on her elbows, cook meals for her six children. And for a year she did that. And my dad says he'd get home and they'd see two strips of blood where her legs, she'd drag her legs because she was completely paralyzed. And she said, I'm not doing that. So then she got out of a wheelchair and she got on a walker. And then she threw the walker out in the street and a truck ran it over. And then she's leaning on things. She walked. She was completely well. You can't just say, I need a miracle. Listen, here's the news. If you're not getting a miracle, you got to work at the next thing. And that's God helping you out as you help yourself out, because that's building something in you that you wouldn't have. A miracle is awesome, but it doesn't make you a stronger person or a better person. It makes you a grateful person. Sometimes you can't just sit there and say, well, I don't like the way it is. Well, then change it. Change it. So Grandma said, I'm going to build a chapel. Sometimes when God gives you a burden, you have got to do something beyond yourself, completely extravagant. God intends for you to pray and act upon the burdens that he gives you. And in case you didn't know, and I'm done, but in case you didn't know, obedience fights unbelief. And faith lives there. Obedience fights unbelief. If you can't do something God's telling you to do, you're going to be a person that's full of doubt and unbelief and eventually full of fear. Would you stand? Our prayers for our nation should be a memorial unto God. They should not be dictated by fear. What about this? What about that? You need to ask the Lord what he's doing and take the privilege of joining him and agreeing with him in all of those wonderful good things. It's one thing to surrender. It's another thing to yield completely to God in the middle of that surrender. Amen? Acts 17:28 says that we are the offspring of Jesus Christ, for in him we live and move and have our being. Isn't that something? Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for pain. I thank you for trial. I thank you, Father, even for the unrest, because, Lord, we see you on the other side. God, may this be our Red Sea as we stand here with the waters rising and flowing and raging. We stand and say, my God will part this sea. and I will walk on dry ground. May we be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gone. May we come out of the flames and not even smell like smoke because a fourth man was in there with us. Father, give us this encouragement deep in our soul today, God, that we would forever understand you have done this thing. As you said in your word, Lord, you did it for your own sake. Father, people may be unfaithful, but you are not. We're sorry, Lord, that it takes such an effort to find one guy that'll stand there. But find him, Lord. You're good at it. You're good at it. You said, Jesus, that if we lift you up, all men would be drawn to you, and this is our greatest desire amongst the arguing and all the fits and all the trouble. People would have a moment where they realize a bright cloud is overshadowing them, and may they see Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for that. Amen.
Faithful God, you hold my life secure, and all my days are
You have been listening to Reverend Sandy Kareem of the Revival Center in Clovis, California. For more information about Reverend Kareem or this ministry, please visit our website at therevivalcenter.info.